Good morning.
Good morning.
It is good to see you all here, and always good to be in God's house. Now, all that aside, the Lord started dealing with me yesterday, and the Lord said, I don't want you to preach what you got planned out. And I love when this happens, because He's got a message we need to hear. So today it's going to be Feed My Sheep, John 21, verses 15 through 17. And I'd like to ask you to stand after you reach the scripture as we read from God's Word, if you're able to stand. John chapter 21, verses 15 through 17. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, Tend my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, Shepherd my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, Do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, Tend my sheep. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we are so thankful for the reading of your word this morning. And God, we ask and pray that, Lord, you would help us to do just that. Father, for those of us who dearly love you, then Father, let us tend to your sheep. That's what we are supposed to be doing as your disciples, dear God, is reaching the lost and discipling those new Christians, teaching them your word, praying for them and helping them along the way. God, put a passion and a desire in our hearts to do this more often. And Father, now as I preach this message, let every word come from you through your Holy Spirit. And God, we give you the honor and the glory and the praise. It's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. You may be seated. So anyway, my thoughts kind of got with me, and I started kind of seeing how this is coming together. Well, the yard sale starts Thursday morning. And you know, it is. It's great that we get to have the yard sale in the spring and in the fall for 2 weekends. From everyone that I've been around, we've had decent weather, sometimes chilly in the fall. But I want us to not think about selling items. I don't want us to think about the money that's going to come in to go to missions. What I want to really think about today and express is the strong and heartfelt desire for the multitudes of people who will come here. See, because we never know a person's heart. We don't know their life. We don't know their background. We don't know that they even go to church. They may go to church, but they don't even know Jesus Christ. And I noticed a lot of times people will go to a church yard sale, and I'm not just picking on this church here, our church. I've been involved in other yard sales at churches, and people would come up and buy things, but nobody, that I would see in years past would even go to someone and say, do you mind if I ask you a question? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? And if they were to say no, would we be willing to say, well, I would like to take just a few minutes and share with you what the Lord's done in my life? That's what it's all about. And I want to see, as a church, I want to see our yard sale this weekend. Let's go after the people who are hurting. Let's go after the people who are lost. Let's maybe go after people who haven't been going to church because they've been hurt in the past. They have gone through maybe a trial or tribulation of some sort, or maybe there's been a death or sick. We have no idea the multitude of things that people experience. But I pray that through this message today, it will move our hearts. That when the Lord speaks to us, and I want to tell you this, when God wants you to witness to somebody, He will give you the words to say. He will move within your heart and life. You don't have to be afraid, but the Lord will take care of the situation. And I want to see Bosque Dell's yard sale this year. I mean, I love when we hear the totals for missions, but I also want to hear this year, I want to hear that maybe one person got saved. That would, because, you know, there's rejoicing in heaven when one person comes to Christ. What a celebration. And that's what I want to see our church really go after. Let's go after the people that are coming up here. Let's love on them. If we love Jesus, then we need to love these people in the same way that we say we love the Lord. Now, I'm going to get into the message on feeding my sheep. Upon reading the scripture, we see that there is a confrontation going on between Jesus and Peter. And basically, it was a failure on Peter's part. Now, back before Jesus was arrested, right before he was arrested, Jesus told Peter, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. And I'm sure this troubled Peter because Peter was a disciple and Peter had always said, well, Lord, I'll never reject you. I'll never turn my back on you. We don't know the exact words Peter used, but we know that Peter had always told the Lord, I'll be right by your side. And the moment that Jesus got arrested, what did Peter do? Peter stood back within the crowd, and instead of looking at Jesus, Peter is looking at the crowd around him. He is seeing the anger. He's seeing the hate, the violence, whatever's taking place all around. And then the first time somebody points him out, not me. So I'm not going to go through all of that. But we can see that there was an utter failure that happened here. Peter denied Jesus. Now, Jesus, he's already been resurrected, and this is right before his ascension back into heaven. Jesus is addressing him by his old name, because if you noticed in the scripture, he didn't call him Peter. He said, Simon, son of John, because he was stripping away the title. Jesus told him he was going to be called Peter. So he was taking away that title because he wanted to deal with Peter's core identity. Jesus knew how Peter felt. Jesus knows your feelings. He knows my feelings. And he knew exactly the remorse and the guilt and the sadness that was probably still in Peter's heart for the denial that had taken place before the crucifixion. So he strips away his title and he just singles him out and says, Simon, son of John. And I guarantee you that got Peter's attention pretty quick. He's probably thinking, well, why didn't he call me Peter? Sometimes I think you and I need to get to a place, because in some way, you and I have rejected Jesus probably a lot, whether we realized it or not. And I want you to know this. There's a lot of people today who carry around with them a lot of guilt, a lot of sadness, and they literally beat themselves up over what they had done. And I want you to know this. Jesus will call us by name. He will deal with us on a one-to-one basis But when Jesus is calling us out, Jesus is not calling us out to knock us over the head or be mean to us. He is calling us out because Jesus is wanting us to know, just as he wanted Peter to know, I love you. Yes, you made a mistake, but I want to call you out. I want to reconcile you to me. I want to restore your trust in me. I want you to know how much I love you, how much I care about you, that I'm walking with you. So I hope that we can identify with Peter in some way, that if we have rejected Jesus, that you and I will turn about and we will start marching right back to the calling of the Lord as he's speaking our name, and that we won't make haste, but we will get to the Lord and reconcile ourselves to him. Now Jesus asks a question. Do you love me more than these? And this refers to Peter's earlier boast that he was more loyal than the other disciples. And that's something Peter did. Now there's a problem there. That's a big pride problem. Pride, we know, is one of the seven deadly sins. But Peter got boastful. I think Peter was a little too big for his britches. Or maybe his britches were too big for him. One of the two ways. But he's telling people, I'm more committed than you guys are. I love the Lord way more than any of you. How many of you have ever done that? Anybody, not to the Lord, but in some way in your life? Anybody ever been a little boastful about something? Oh, I know I have. I'm guilty of this. When I was a young preacher, I went to a church one time, and this gentleman got up there, and he was of age. I don't like to say old or elderly. He was of age. And he started preaching his message, and I thought, am I going to have to sit here and endure this? Because there was no rhyme or reason or motivation for the message, really. And I'm sitting there in the pew going, oh. And I was sitting there thinking, I could do better than this. So, see, I was all immediately put myself in Peter's place. I was being boastful. I was bragging. So, see, you and I have got to be careful about getting pride out of our lives. We have to be careful about what we are pride or what we boast about. See, because every one of us as a child of God, we're all on the same level. We're all on the same page. Now, there's a lot of people who may know the Bible better. They can probably memorize it, but it doesn't make them better than another Christian. There may be a Christian who goes out and witnesses more during the week, and maybe there's Christians who witness once a week or once every couple weeks. It doesn't make those Christians better than this Christian. That's what I want, the point that I want to make to you is we are all the same. We were created in God's likeness. And folks, we have got to surely be careful what we brag about, what we boast about. If we boast about anything, we need to boast about how much we do love the Lord. And we need to boast how much we love others. And we need to boast how greater others are than ourselves. Now, you know Peter and his personality. I mean, Peter was a hothead. Peter could cuss. Peter, man, he could get angry at the... I mean, when Jesus was arrested, he drew a sword and cut off the guard's ear. I mean, he acted in the what I call hotshot anger. Man, it just, bam, it was there. And I know there's a lot of people, there's a lot of different personalities, but I want to tell you this. We have got to definitely be careful as Christian people what we say and how we carry ourselves around others. Now, the purpose of this, Jesus wasn't trying to shame Peter, but he was trying to heal the wound of his threefold denial. See, Jesus doesn't want to make you, he's not pointing a finger at you going, shame, shame, everybody knows your name. Boy, I can't tell you how many times I heard that as a kid growing up. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Look at what you done. Do you know what you said? Do you know what you did? You know how your actions caused? Well, I heard enough of that growing up and never cared to hear no more about it. But that's not what Jesus was doing to Peter. He was trying to get a healing started because Peter was hurting. And there are folks who are hurting. That's why I say, when people come to this yard sale, and I want to say this, and there may be some toes get stepped on, but hey, if that has to happen, I'm going to preach this message. I told you I'm not here to tickle ears, and I'm not here to make you feel good. I'm here to make us listen to the voice of the Lord and realize how we need to change our life. But there may be somebody come to this yard sale that maybe they hurt somebody in this church, or maybe they hurt this church in a certain way. You know what? That's the time where Christians don't need to point the finger and say, well, I'm not talking to that one. They hurt me, or they did such and such, or they did this to our church, and then you just disappear. Jesus didn't go to Peter and say, you denied me, so I'm going to write you off, and I'm not going to let you into... Jesus didn't do any of that. Jesus saw the hurt. He knew the situation. So he's bringing Peter to him, and he's calling out to him, though, with love. And I want you to know this. I want you to please listen. And I'm listening to myself what I say. People that have done you wrong or have done this church wrong, or maybe somebody you know, you're going to have to put it aside and you're going to have to love them. You think about everything you've ever done that's hurt Jesus and he's forgiven you. It's time for us, and I'm going to say this, we better pull up our big boy and big girl britches. And we better start acting like the Christians that he's called us to be. If we say that we love the Lord, then we better back it up with the evidence. If we say we love the Lord and we're not loving these people coming up here that hurt us or done wrong, well, then we're liars. We don't really love God at all. Go and read it in Scripture. If we say that we love God, but we don't love anybody else, then we're liars. It's in the Bible. But the wound in Peter's heart, can you imagine Peter three times? The third time, I've seen the videos that these gospel artists have made about the song He's Alive, and there's a part in there, boy, when I see that, it does something to me. I put myself in Peter's shoes because I've denied him. Oh, I have. When I was young and dumb as a Christian, I didn't want my friends to know. I didn't want people to know I was a Christian. I was too ashamed. But that third denial, I guarantee you, Jesus made eye contact with Peter, and boy, it locked Peter in fear. If your mom and dad's ever gave you that look, or your grandparents ever gave you that look, and it locked you into a place of fear, and you're going, uh-oh, I shouldn't have done that. I guarantee you that Peter was feeling something even deeper and greater than that. He denied Jesus, and Jesus told him he would, and Jesus locked eyes with him. And Peter whipped bitterly and took off. And now Jesus is saying, I love you. He was saying that on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Peter was in that group. You were in that group. I was in that group. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So here he's drawing Peter because he's wanting to reconcile. And that's what you and I have to do. You and I have to come to a place, whether we're wrong or whether we're right, that don't matter. There comes a time where we have to apologize to people, even if you didn't start it. The biggest and the boldest move of love and the greatest witness is when you can go to somebody, even if you are not the instigator, you could say, look, I'm sorry for what happened. I want you to know that I love you. And I want you to know that I forgive you. That is the greatest start to healing right there. Now the Lord will give you the power and the ability to do such a thing, but you've got to let Him work in your life in that process. Now, the other person may not receive it right at the time. Well, that's between them and the Lord. That's on them. Now you've got the opportunity. Now you can walk away and no longer carry that shame and that heaviness around with you, or that guilt. Because eventually, I mean, I've seen it. I've done people wrong, or I've been involved in arguments in church. Oh, I was kind of like Peter when I was a young preacher. I was like Peter. Man, if somebody crossed my path, ooh, man, I was going to put the hammer down. Well, I'm the preacher of this church, and you're not going to talk to me. I was that dumb. I really was. But there were times that the Lord dealt with me to a point that I couldn't sleep at night. But I would make a phone call to one certain person that I had a big falling out with, and I said, hey, and this guy was a pastor too, and he acted like I did. We both acted like we was 5 years old that Sunday after church. And I just said, hey, buddy, I ain't going to say no names, but I said, hey, I want you to know that what happened, he started it. He did. He come busting at me, yelling and screaming and kicking and clawing and having a fit over something that he misunderstood in the sermon. And then I went Indian warpath on him in revenge. So there was strained feelings, and I left the church not long after because I thought, I can't be here anymore. But I called him and said, look, I'm not here to say who's to blame or what. I just want to let you know I'm sorry for what happened. And I'm sorry for everything I said. I'm sorry for my attitude, my actions. They were so wrong. And I want to make it right. And he wouldn't say nothing. He wouldn't hardly forgive me on the phone. And I said, well, I want you to know I love you and I'm praying for you. And I said, well, you have a good day and goodbye. And I hung up the phone. And fast forward, somebody in their family had passed away, and it had been quite some time. I drove to the funeral home at West Frankfort, and I walked in, and there he was. And you know what he did? It had been a little time since we talked. Well, since I talked to him on the phone. And he come up to me, and he stuck his hand out, and he said, I'm sorry too. Greatest thing could have ever happened. And when he died, I thought, thank you, Lord. I didn't get to go to his service or nothing, but I did go to his visitation. But I just thought, what a feeling that our relationship, that brokenness was restored. And that's what I want to reach out to all of us about today, is put it behind you and go on. Try to make it right. And if people don't receive you, pray for them. Still love them, because God will take care of their heart eventually. Now the examination, it's the nature of our love. The threefold query, just as Peter denied Jesus three times, Jesus gave him three opportunities to profess his love. That's why Jesus asked him three times, because Peter denied him three times. Now Jesus wasn't trying to really get Peter riled up or make him mad, but he knew Peter's heart, and he knows our heart too. And there's times that we'll say we love the Lord, but we don't really react to His voice when He's telling us to do something. So here, He's telling Peter, tend my sheep. You love me. Well, yes, Lord. Then tend my sheep. And I want to broadcast that as loud as I can this morning, not in loud volume, but I mean to loud to our hearts, as that we, if we say, Lord, we love you, and if he asks you, do you love me? And if he says, and we say yes, and he says, tend my sheep, that we'll get off of our duffs and that we will get out and put action behind the words. Then Jesus asked him a second time. And then Jesus asked him a third time. Well, by the third time, you saw that Peter was kind of perplexed. It was kind of maybe an emotional thing for him at that time. Well, golly, you know, he's probably thinking, you've asked me twice. Now you're asking me three times. I've given you the answer twice. Well, yes, Lord, I do love you. But Jesus could see Peter's heart. And I want you to know this, the Lord knows your heart and the Lord can see your heart. And he knows where your heart is at. He knows how real we are. You can come to church and you can sit in a pew or a chair and you can wear a cross and you can carry a Bible, but that doesn't make you a Christian and it doesn't make you a disciple of the Lord Jesus. You know what does? Believing that he is the Son of God, that he was born of a virgin, that he died for your sins, and that you confess with your mouth that he is the Son of God, that he is King of kings and Lord of lords, and you believe that in your heart and you confess it with your mouth, the Bible says you will be saved. But until then, you're just a fixture in a seat. If you want to be a Christian, then you've got to back it up with the evidence. There should be evidence. Now, I don't know what people do throughout the week, and people don't know what I do during the week. I had some people had in the past say, well, preacher, you need to start doing your job because you're just not out there. Oh, really? Were you with me this week? Oh, that's what used to really perturb me sometimes. Used to aggravate me to no end. And one time, I was home, had the flu, running 102 fever, sick as a dog, and somebody was in the hospital, and well, preacher didn't go. Well, golly, well, how's I supposed to go when I was sick at home with the flu? Well, anyway, that situation worked itself out eventually. But there's got to be evidence. I know how I live for the Lord, and you know how you live for the Lord, but we need to ask ourselves, is it real? Are we doing what we committed? Are we doing what we said to the Lord we would do when we made the promise? In the original text, Jesus uses the word agape love, which means self-sacrificing love, while Peter responded with what's called a filial love, brotherly affection. See, the Lord's got a love for you and I that runs pretty deep. No matter how much we mess up, he's always willing to forgive us. And he's always willing to restore us. And I want to ask this, when we come to church, what are you coming to church for? Are you coming just because it's a habit? I hope that when we're coming to church, now I don't come here. I love seeing everybody. Don't get me wrong. Now don't take what I'm about to say wrong. Don't take it foul or anything. But when I come here, I'm here for the Lord. I'm here to have fellowship with my Christian brothers and sisters and deliver a message. But I'm here for the Lord and I'm excited about it. And you know what? If somebody doesn't like me, I can't help that. I love them and I'll pray for them, but I can't help what others feel. But what are we here for? I want you to ask yourself that and really think on it. Then the shift in the final question, when Jesus met Peter where he was. That's what you call the rubber hitting the road. By using Peter's own word for love, acknowledging his honest but humbled heart. See, Peter got brought down quite a few notches after he rejected Jesus. And when we don't do what the Lord says, it ought to take us down quite a few notches, and it ought to cause you and I to look back at what we've done, and it ought to make us want to turn it around and make it right and not repeat the same action again. We should all have a humbled heart. Then the commission, it was love in action. Jesus said, "Feed my lambs," or "tend my sheep." This is a genuine love for Jesus, and it must be expressed, now listen to this, through service to his church. Service. Now, don't be a tingling brass or a clinging cymbal. Don't just be making noise. Don't make noise. Do what you do and do it with love. Now, I tell you what, we got some fine folks in this church. I mean, people bring all this stuff in here. Now, you think about it. People don't take their stuff to Goodwill or whatever. They bring it to Boscadel, and we've got a group of folks who commit to organizing, sorting, pricing, categorizing, and I don't know how many hours they stay here each day, because I'm not, but I know this, I've been here on a few of those instances, and I've seen them girls work, and man, them girls can work. And if you ain't got a job to do, I know a ringleader here who could give you a job quickly. And don't stand around and be doing your job halfway, because she'll get on you, won't you, Effie? I have to pick on her a minute. At the last fall yard sale, we's kind of standing around under the tent. She brought me a rag and she says, "Pastor, do you have something you need to do?" I said, "No, I don't." "Well, here's a rag." She says, "Could you wipe all them tables and desks down on that trailer? They're all covered." I said, "Yes, ma'am, I sure will." And I got me to working, and somebody, I forgot who it was, come down and said, "Did Effie put you to work?" I said, "Yep, she's working my fingers to the bone." So, but hey, I say that because we got some folks who dedicate time. But that's all good, but let's not forget the souls who are coming to buy, that we got to witness to them. Thank you for your work and your love, all of you. The responsibility in feeding as teaching and preaching the Word of God, providing pastoral care, guidance, and protection for the flock. Yeah, you know, that there's pastor of the church. He brings the Word. He visits, makes calls, texts, whatever. And sometimes I may not get to be with somebody during a situation. I may not be able to leave what I'm doing and get there, but I can sure send a text or I can make a call, whatever the situation warrants. And the pastor gives pastoral care. But you know what? It's not only the pastor's job to help keep things flowing in the church. It's all of us together. That's why I say in the church, we're one body. But too many times we single somebody out and say, "Well, that responsibility belongs to them." No, it doesn't. The responsibility falls on every one of us. And I'm thankful for everyone in here who takes time to pray, who takes time to make a meal, who takes time to send flowers or a card. We got some folks in this church who send cards, and what a great ministry. When I've taken cards home, I sit down and read them. I don't know about anybody else, but it brings a tear to my eye, because I think that person took time out and thought about me and wrote those words. God bless them. Now the ownership, Jesus emphasizes that they are His sheep. Now isn't that great? We are the Lord's sheep. Now, we are His hands. We're the ones that He put down here to do the work. Now, we know the song says if one leaves, Jesus will go after him. But you know what? Jesus lives inside of us. And if we know of one who's strayed away, then we don't need to sit around in a circle wondering who's going to leave that circle and go after. We need to be the one that says, yes, Lord, I'll do it. We need to start taking responsibility as Christian people. That's what the church is here for. Restoration is not just for the sake of feeling better. It is for the sake of recommissioning. And Jesus' final instructions to us, it's the same as the first. Follow me. Follow me. Now, I'm going to say this. You and I are all going to stand before the Lord. And we're going to take an account of everything we've ever said or done or didn't do. Every single one of us. And you know, now our parents might have said this when they say, you better listen to me what I'm saying. You better get this corrected right now. Because I don't want to have this conversation with you again. That's what my folks would have said. But Jesus is saying to us, hey, it's time to get real. He gave us a commission. He gave us a charge to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. How about you? Don't look at your neighbor. Don't wonder who else is going to take up that charge. You need to ask yourself, I need to ask myself, am I willing to take up that charge? Am I willing to get out of my comfort zone and do what the Lord wants?